days and times that we're living in, there's some things that I'm glad they still get preached here. I'm still glad we try to stand for the truth and we try to follow the truth, but we also need to live the truth. And I want to preach on repentance today. I want to preach on repentance. And as we've often said in the scriptures, the Bible speaks of in many places, many of things that go on in the scriptures. But I want to read in Acts chapter 17. I want to read in Acts chapter 17. So if you'd like to flip there, that's where we'll take our text from. But also, too, if you get an opportunity, and I'll remind you in a bit, we'll go to Luke chapter 15 towards the end of the message. I got the introduction is real straightforward and serious, but the what God shows us in His Word is so graciously and wonderful. I will say this, is not just for the lost person, but it's also for the saved person. Repentance is for everybody. Repentance is something that everybody should do. You've heard this preacher say, how I know that I have repented is because I keep repenting. The Lord keeps manifesting and showing things in my life. And I took a hard stance. I heard an old preacher say this. He said a lot of times people, it hasn't been as much today. You don't hear about it as much today as you used to. He took a real big stance against the term rededicating. Because as the old preacher said, he thinks the church about rededicated themselves to death. They took that term to rededicate and they took it in a context that shouldn't be done. But when you rededicate, that means you go back to the dedication that you gave. And I will say this, there's some of us, we need to do that. We need to get back to what we dedicated our life to be, and that's following the Lord. But repentance is a biblical word. Repentance is a must word. Repentance is one of the most important words in the Bible. And I will say this, no matter how good you may be, and you may be better at this walk than me, and you may be more better than anybody else here, but still yet I've never found in the Scriptures, Brother Paul, where I found where one did not need to repent and get closer to God. And I will say this, I hope your heart's open and I hope you'll listen and I hope you'll respond. I don't want you just to hear me preach, but I'm praying you'll feel God in the message. So if you got Acts chapter 17, say amen. I want to ask you to stand at your feet if you're able, if you can. And we're going to read a familiar part of a story, or part, not a story, but something that took place with the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 17, and from verse 28, or verse 27, so I'll start reading. Acts 17, verse 27. And it says that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. What a joyful thought. Verse 28 says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Excuse me. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by the art, graven by art and man's device. Verse 30 is where we'll take our thought. And that in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, Father, we come to You once again, Father, to say glory to Your name. Thank You, Lord Father. We ask You to touch and please press upon our hearts, Lord Father, with Your sweet word and spirit. And Lord, if need be, the conviction to draw us closer to You. I'm finding today, Lord Father, as well as others, we're smack dab in the midst or maybe in the end of the great falling away. Apostasy is happening all over the place, Lord. And it's happening in good churches with good people, hearing underneath sound doctrine and preaching. And Lord Father, I do know our only hope is Your Word and Your Spirit. Lord Father, so we pray today, Lord, forgive me if I fail You. Use me as a vessel unto honor, if You would not, that I may receive a pat on the back. I'm nothing, but that, Lord, they can hear and feel You speak to their heart. And Father, I pray today, Lord, that as much as lies within me, Lord, that I would just do exactly what You have me to do, say everything I ought to say, but also not say things that wouldn't bring glory to your name and also help a sinner see you in the light they need to see. And Father, above all things, glory, honor, and praise be given to your high and holy name. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. And as we said, we want to preach on repentance this morning. We want to preach on repenting. Find in the scriptures here that the Apostle Paul, and you read with me and you also prayed with me after we read the scripture, that the Lord winked at this ignorance. The ignorance was is that man seemed to think at that time that the Godhead was things that did appear, things that were made. And I will say that as we live today, it has not come very far. It's actually come full circle. We're living a day and time now where it seems like more and more people think that the Godhead, they think that the spiritual things are God or not spiritual. They think they're carnal. They think they're tangible. But Paul told the Corinthian church, the things that we see are temporary, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal. And I will say this, thank God that salvation is eternal. I can't see what salvation is in you. I can't see the Spirit in you, but thank God I can see the evidence of salvation and the Spirit in people that have been born again. Thank you, Brother Levi. But Father, I will say this, the Father is speaking and through the Apostle Paul because he's at Mars Hill. Mars Hill was the paganistic type beliefs. They had all their altars, had everything going. And all they spent their time was to hear something new or some kind of new doctrine, something to believe in. They didn't care whether or not if it was the truth or not. They already had their mind made up, but they wanted to hear something new. And the Apostle Paul didn't give them something new. He gave them the truth. He gave them an absolute. He said that all this ignorance God looked at and winked at it. He said, but now God's commanding men everywhere to repent. That means people, whether they're young people, whether they're middle-aged people, whether they're old, whether they're in the darkest of society or in the brightness of society, everybody must repent. And I find that the word repent sometimes is a cuss word in some churches. They don't like repentance to be preached anymore. But can I say that repentance is mentioned 105 times in the Bible? That means repentance is something important that God speaks of. I didn't go through the Old Testament and find, but I do find in Mark chapter number 3, John the Baptist preached repentance as he was at the River Jordan talking about people should repent. After he baptized Jesus Christ and in the River Jordan, you'll find in Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter number 1 that Jesus began to preach the kingdom of God and he began to preach repentance. We find in Acts chapter number 2 that Peter at the day of Pentecost after the 120 were filled up with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with the cloven tongues as a fire, and those 3,000 Jewish men from every nation, they heard the gospel in their own language as they began to make fun of those people. Peter stood up and he preached the gospel, Brother Paul, and he preached repentance. He said that you should believe and repent in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in Acts chapter number 20, we find the Apostle Paul. He preached unto them and unto the Jews and unto the Greeks, testifying both unto them. And he said, I kept back nothing from you all, but nothing more than but repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. I will say that repentance is the must. Repentance is the thing that we ought to have in our life. We're living in a day and time where repentance is something that is looked at something totally different than what it used to be. In Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 47, this is what Jesus said. He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. He says, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice that Jesus told the disciples in Luke chapter number 24 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations starting at Jerusalem. So if you'll have it, it was today's day and time that repentance and remission of sins should be preached here at Mount Zion first and going out everywhere else, wherever we go. That repentance is a must. And in Luke chapter 15, we find that there's joy in the presence of angels over the repenting of one soul. We find that when Peter preached that them people should repent and be baptized. We find, as Paul said in Acts chapter 20, it's repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. We find that Jesus spoke to those churches in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 3. He said, repent. He told them churches, repent, repent, repent. And can I say, repent is something that we ought to do. It's not popular in the modern church, but it has been diluted. It has been deflected. It has been softened and it has been weakened. And friend, we should repent. Repentance is something that ought to be a must in our life. Repentance is something that we ought to give heed to in our life. I find that in the scriptures that it says that the repentance is the thing that we ought to have constantly as our days go by. I find when I looked up the definition of repentance on the internet, the Google definition of repentance is feeling or experiencing sincere regret or remorse about one's doing or sin. I hope if you don't listen to anything in the first part, I hope you catch this. Repentance is not an emotion. Repentance is not just feeling some kind of remorse. Repentance is not feeling bad for your sin. But oh, it is so important to realize that we do have, and we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But many of people who have felt bad about things and they felt bad about the wrongs that they've done, they think that everything's all right because they felt some kind of wrongdoing or they felt wrong in what they have done. And can I say that's good? I think it's important, but friend, that is not repentance. Oh, Brother Kenny, so many people nowadays, when you ask them what repentance is, they just simply say it's asking God to forgive them of their sin. And friend, I hope I'm not here to, I don't want to be here to be your enemy. I want to give you the truth, and yet truth will rest in your heart. But friend, asking God to forgive you of your sins is not repenting. It's asking God to forgive you of your sins. Some folks will say, preacher, I don't kind of jive with that being repentance. Can I say that in the Old Testament, the old Hebrew words that they used, there were two words that came to mind, or two words that they brung together to form them to what repentance really meant in the Old Testament. To repent means was to turn from your ways and turn to another's ways. You said, preacher, how can you say that? Well, even the Bible says it in Genesis chapter number 6. That when God looked down from heaven and he saw that the imaginations of men's heart was wicked, it repented the Lord that he made man. It says, it's bothered me so much that I've seen the wickedness of man that I'm turning from this way and I'm going this way. Now you say, oh, preacher, I never heard preaching like this before. This has got me all bamboozled and bumfuzzled. Well, friend, can I tell you this? This is the truth. The Bible says that God, it repented him that he ever made man, because the way that they went, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to drown every single one of them except for 8 souls that were saved by an ark in the water. Noah and his wife, his 3 sons, and his 3 daughter-in-laws. Can I say this for us to realize that repentance is a must and repentance is important. And repentance is something that we ought to do because God said, I command men everywhere to repent. Friend, we ought to give it the more earnest heed in our hearts. The Bible in the Old Testament, it meant to turn from your ways and turn to another. And can I say the best way kind of repentance is to turn from our ways and turn unto God's ways. Y'all listen to the preacher? In the Greek, it's 2 different words that they put together. It means meta. Meta was the one word which means amid or with. And the other word I can't really pronounce, but it meant an exercise of the mind. If you'll have it in the New Testament, it meant for us to change our mind, change our attitude, change the way we are and thinking on the inside. So in the Old Testament, to repent was to turn from your ways and go to God's ways. In the New Testament, it was to change the way that you think and change the way that things are in your heart. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tap dance on people's testimonies. And that's not my desire this day. But my heart's desire has been filled by God to say, Jason, it's hard to find people preaching about repentance anymore because people don't know what repentance is anymore. Can I say repentance is a practice that ought to be done? It's a practice that ought to be tried and fulfilled day after day and day after day. I find that in the definition of repentance in that Old and New Testament, it's a decision and a choice for one's will not to be based upon emotions, but to be based on what thus saith the Lord. And so many times people base things on emotions and base things on things that they feel with their feelings. And don't get me wrong, I'm the first guy who wants to feel the blessing and the power of God. But Michelle, it's not based upon our feelings. It's based upon what the Word of God says. I mean, look at this. Are we as emotional type people? Our emotions run the rampant. Our emotions will go from point A to point Z and all points in between. I've seen some folks who are so sad tell me that they'll cry or they'll laugh when they're so sad. And so I've seen some folks laugh so hard, and I've done it too. I just bust out crying. Could not stop laughing so hard that I was crying tears and things of that nature. But can I say, when we base things based upon what is feeling in our flesh, not based upon what the Lord does, friend, we can get our wires crossed. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm seeing this trend. When we prayed, and I believe this, that when the Bible says there shall be a great falling away, the reason why there's a great falling away, Brother Paul, is because there's no foundation. There's nothing that people cling to. There's nothing that happened in their life. And the one thing that always comes first, Brother Paul, is that repentance is towards the Lord. I find that repenting and doing things in that of God, that repentance is the must. Don't take as I said, is it wrong as emotional people? There's some folk who's repented with emotions, and there's some folks who's repented without emotions, but not one person will repent unless their heart, their mind, and their will has been changed. I think about this oftentimes. I get asked this, me and my two of my boys, or especially me and one of them, we talk about this back and forth about our will and God's will and free will. And can I say this? When I repented towards the Lord, my will got chucked out the window. My will got put to the curb. It got set out like the Monday morning trash. Our trash day's Monday morning. That's where my will sent. And can I say this? So many times people don't realize it, but when you don't repent, when you don't have that change of thinking, that change of mind, and change of attitude on the inside, Brother Kenny, it's not too long. I've seen some folks endure for a little while because they like the feeling. I've seen some folks endure for a while because they like the singing or the preaching. I've seen some folks endure for a while because they like the fellowship. But mark her down, sooner or later, somewhere along the lines, that fellowship and that thing with the Lord, since there's no repentance to be in the cornerstone, or that repentance towards God being a part of the foundation of God, they'll never endure and through the things that comes their way. Repentance is something that folks don't realize it, and some folks don't like to look at, because when you realize the word repent and it comes in your life, you're looking as you're the person who's in the wrong, and you need to go to the person who's right. But friend, isn't that what really his life is all about? With us that are saved and those that are lost, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God, and we are as an unclean thing. Oh, but friend, aren't you glad to know that God didn't leave us in that predicament, and God didn't leave us in that situation, but we can turn from our ways and turn unto God's ways. Repenting is something that ought to be preached and promoted and pushed from within. I find that when it comes to repentance, it being a must, repentance is something that we all need to realize and focus upon. I worry for some people, and I worry about our modern church world. I worry about our churches as we have today, people that I know, people that you know. Some folks may think it's kind of harsh to say, but there's been names that's been dropped and people that we worry about that no longer come to church. And there's people that have no longer darkened the doors of the church, and I'm not thrown off and saying people's not saved. But friend, just as much as we need to realize that they need to repent and come and be back a part of the church and come to God, but friend, we need to keep repenting ourselves to stay in the fellowship of God. Some folks may not like it. I'm sitting there yesterday at a football game, and I'm hearing people holler and scream and do these things, and their whole entire day, I've heard them say their whole entire weekend, their highlight of the day is to be at the football field or be at the baseball field or at the basketball court or whatever they're doing on the extracurricular activity. But friend, can I say this? For the child of God, the most important day should be the day that you spend with the Lord. That could be Sunday, that could be Monday, that could be every day of the week. But friend, you'll never get in that position unless you repent. I find in the days that we're living in that we'll try to okay everything, we'll try to minimize everything, we'll try to make things not to be so as important, and we'll say that it's because we have a relationship with God. God understands. But repentance is something that we have to turn to. Repentance is something that we have to go after. I find in Luke chapter 13 that Jesus preached repentance. Luke chapter 13, they come to Jesus. I want you all to listen to them. They come to Jesus. When they came to Jesus, they said, suppose them people at that Tower of Siloam fell upon, suppose they're bigger sinners than anybody else. And can I say, Jesus answered them this question. He says, unless you repent, you all shall likewise perish. Can I say the days and times that we're living in, we see things that happen and people do certain things. If I had a dime for every time, Brother Paul, that I've heard of hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes that come and hit certain places in our country, people say it's God getting back at those people over and over and over and over again. But the one thing it gets me is those people say those things they don't realize. As Jesus said, he said, unless ye repent, ye all shall likewise perish. He's preaching that repentance should be done. And I've listened to people and I've talked to people. And folks will say, well, what about when them people that Pilate mingled their blood with the sacrifice, suppose they're bigger sinners than anybody else. And Jesus said those same words. He said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. I find in the scriptures that it's either repent or perish. As we said in the Old Testament, it was to turn. That's where them old preachers would say, turn or burn. Why? Because either you are going the ways of the world or you're going in the ways of God. I hear people say, well, preacher, you know, how much important is it? I ask God to forgive me and everything's all right between me and the Lord. And I want to say this, and I hope I ain't here to confuse you. I'm not trying to, if you listen closely. Jesus died upon the cross and paid for all sin. Sin has been paid for, Wade. The Bible says he died once and for all for sin. He's never going to die again. He died for that sin. He paid the price for all men. Thank God that he did. Paid the price for your sin and paid the price for mine. But friend, can I say this? When God, the Bible says in John chapter 6, Jesus says these words. He says, no man can come unto the Father unless the Father first draw him. And friend, in that drawing process, I don't know about anybody else wants to see this or realize this. You see yourself in a way, in a fashion, in a form where you see your need of coming to God and turning from what you're doing. I hear this all the time, and I remember William Booth. William Booth was a man who I think he was the one who started the Salvation Army. But in the 1800s, he was a preacher, and that preacher said some things in the 1800s, and you've heard me say these before, but this is the man who said that. I think it was 1875, William Booth says that in the modern era, there's going to have conversions without conviction. They're going to have some regenerations and that without repentance. And friend, can I say, you cannot have a conversion without conviction, and you cannot have regeneration without repentance. Y'all listen to the preacher? I watch people, Paul. I watch, and people watch me. I've watched people struggle in this life. I've watched them struggle with their walk with the Lord, Melissa. I've watched them, how they wrestle about the things in this world. As I said, the seriousness of this message, the Lord showed me, and I've watched them, how folks will wrestle with time. They'll wrestle with possessions. They'll wrestle with the fixes of their flesh. They'll wrestle with entertainment. They'll wrestle with things that they struggle with. And can I say the reason why that they've wrestled, you can trace it all the way back down to one word, and that's repentance. Repentance is something when you turn from the things that you once loved, the things that you once desired, and you turn and go in a different direction. I'll never forget, they had homecoming. I hope y'all don't mind. This has been my reality the last couple of days. They had homecoming in Blanchester, and they had the parades, and they had all the people waving and throwing candy and everything. And Vicky, I remember back in my day when we was in high school, I mean, it may be a long, long time ago, but I remember the homecoming parades and the homecoming games, and we're all reminiscing and talking and all those things, and I began to think about how it was for me back in those days. And once I got out of high school, there's about 10 of us that ran together, Brother Kenny. We was thick as thieves, and we got in trouble, and we had good times, everything together. But somebody showed up and spoiled all that, and she's sitting over in the second pew. She showed up, and when she showed up, she took a liking to me. She chased me, Paul, Lord of mercy, like I never got real. I mean, I couldn't, but she stuck with me. She never told me I had to choose between them and her. She just went everywhere with me. Even I tried to take her brother with me to get her to get away from me, she stuck to me. I'm not saying this on, she's wonderful to me. She's the best thing in this life that's ever happened outside of salvation. But I had to make a choice. All my buddies like, you need to spend time with us and go hang out. I'm like, some of the things we did, I don't need to do no more. I'm just going to stay with Tammy. And they say, well, you're ditching us for her. I said, no, I'm not ditching. Well, she was prettier than them, I will say that. And she is still prettier than them, but it was a life choice. I had to make a decision. And I turned from following that. Now, some of y'all may get mad over this, but I want you to realize something. When you're choosing the things of the world over the things that God wants to give you, you're telling God He doesn't rate. Child of God, you may not like this, but when you choose to do things of the world more than doing things with God, you're choosing and saying that God you don't rate. Don't get me wrong, you can go to football games, you can do this, you can do that, NASCAR, anything you, all those things is great. But friends, you can't take this, you can't put God on Sundays and take Him off and put Him in the coat rack and come pick Him back up on Sunday morning. It doesn't work that way. Some people might say, well, preacher, if I choose things that way, do you know what my social life's going to be like? Yeah, I know what your social life's going to be like. A whole lot less headache, a whole lot less heart trouble, and a whole lot less anything else. And you say, well, preacher, I'll be bored. I'd rather be bored and doing the things with God and God's people than riotous living and doing things in the dark that ought not to be done. I've seen more people of God choose the things of the world because they've never truly repented from the things that they once did. They never allowed their attitudes to be changed. They never allowed their minds to be changed. And some folks may get upset over this, but the reason why you can't get fixated on the right job, you can't get fixated on the right situation, you can't get fixated on the things that we have to live in this life, is because you won't let go of that decision. You won't let go of that things of life and repent and give it to God. But can I say, when we repent and give thanks to God, it may not make sense to our flesh. It may bother us for a short time and a short period. But friend, can I say this? In the long run, it's so much sweeter. I find when Jesus said those words, He says, repent or perish. Can I say, I've seen many of people's testimonies that go by the wayside because children of God and people of God and saints of God, they'll turn from following the Lord and turn from getting closer to God to say, preacher, it don't bother nothing. I show up on Sundays. Preacher, it don't bother nothing. I show up on Wednesdays. Preacher, it doesn't bother nothing because I'm still coming to Sunday school, still carry a Bible. But friend, you could show up on church, you can still carry a Bible, still go to Sunday school and still be out in the middle of nowhere not following God. I've noticed when Peter, when he was confronted at the judgment of Jesus Christ, he did not want to be associated with the things that was going on, be it fear of the people, be it fear of judgment, I don't know. But we find Peter at the end warming himself by the fire of the world. And when they asked him if he was one of his disciples, he cussed the person that said he was one of those disciples, and he ran off. Friend, can I say this? I've often looked at this, and I've gotten in trouble with the brothers, I've gotten in trouble with pastors, and I've gotten in trouble with churches. Can I say this? Don't ever look for sinners to repent and get right with God if the church is not willing to repent and get right with God. When we realize and see that it's the repentance that God desires in our heart for us to turn from the things of the world and turn unto Him. Friend, and can I say, not because you got your heart broken, not because the preacher's message tanned your hide, not because the Spirit broke your heart. That's not repentance, thank God. It is something that you feel knowing that God is dealing with your heart. But friend, what you need to do is take that remorse, turn it into some motivation and say, God, I'm quitting the things of the world and I'm going with You. I remind the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, when the writer wrote, he said that if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and repent and turn themselves to God and pray, the Bible says we will hear from heaven and He shall hear our lands. But that was a prayer of condition. He said, if you ever get to the place where you will stop following God, stop doing these things, because you'll see the evidence in your life. And when you see the evidence of God not in your life, he said, there's always a way to get back to Him, and it's called repentance. Can I say this? Some folks, and I'm not saying that I'm super Christian. I don't have an S underneath my shirt, and I'm not super Christian. I have a cape and everything like that. Friend, I come short just as much as you do. And whenever I've struggled, whenever things wasn't being good and things wasn't done right, I found that I was covering up sin and I was not prospering. And for me to get things right, I had to confess and forsake the things that I was doing and get myself back to the Lord. Repentance is something that God leads you and draws you in, but it's up to you to make that decision to follow Him. Is anybody listening to this preacher? Jesus said that you got to repent or you'll perish. I've seen these people. They've never truly repented. Paul said it's repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. The first step is repentance. An absolute surrender of your will, turning from your ways, and an unconditional surrender under the dependence dependence unto God. Heard a man ask this question one time to this preacher. He said, are you an independent Baptist preacher? He said, no, I'm a dependent Baptist preacher. He goes, what? He goes, I'm a dependent Baptist preacher. He said, what's that? He goes, I depend on God. I'm not independent. I got to have God every single day. And I realize, and I know some folks will say, preacher, repentance is something that I've already done, but faith with, but if we have repentance without faith, friend, can I tell you this? You'll never get to the place where faith surrenders everything to God. Our faith is in Christ. And if we try to put faith in Christ without repentance towards God, then our faith will be in vain. I'm reminded that Luke chapter 15 is the repentance chapter in the Bible. But there's some things that God showed me, Gabriel, that I've never seen before last night. Can I say, we often pray for this to happen, that to happen. We had, and for those that wasn't here, I had to fill in for Brother Eddie for Sunday school so he can have some time away. And we went to Psalm chapter 34, and we discussed about how Psalm chapter 34 is a vocal life, a visible life, and a valuable life. And can I say, a born-again child of God, their life is vocal. Their life is visible, and our life is valuable. But I've noticed in these scriptures in Luke chapter number 15, we find where we see some things where the life is visible and the life is vocal and the life is valuable. But I find that one familiar story in Luke chapter 15. We find the story of the prodigal son is one of the most sweetest stories, Sister Shirley, about repentance. Y'all still with the preacher? Say amen. If you want me to quit, I'll quit. But Luke chapter 15, we find a father and his two sons. Y'all know the story. And the one says, he says, Father, give me my inheritance. In verse number 12, the younger of them said, his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me, and divide unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. We all know the story. Notice that the first thing he did with everything that he had, he wasted it. He wasted his life. This prodigal son wasted his inheritance. He spent it amongst riotous living. He joined himself up with people of the country and got to the place where the people of the country didn't treat him good. They sent him out to do one of the most demeaning jobs there ever was, and that was to feed the pigs. I find in this scripture, as it says in Luke chapter 15, it said he wasted his father's inheritance with his living. I wonder how many of us could sit here today and say, preacher, I've wasted my father's inheritance. I'm not talking about your natural daddy. I'm talking about God, the Father. You've wasted your life. Some of us that are saved and we profess a hope, but we have not produced nothing. We're wasting the things that God's given us. A vocal testimony, Brother Kenny, a vocal prayer, a song. Preacher, I can't sing as good as Christian and Alexis and April. We're not asking for American Idol contestants. We're asking for people to praise the Lord. The Lord is asking for people to praise Him. We read Psalm chapter 150, talk about praising Him on the instruments and on the stringed instruments, on the cymbals, and all those things, and the timbrels and things like that. And it says, and even dance for the Lord. But at the last verse, He says, everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. But some of us has wasted the living, wasted the inheritance, wasted, or we're wasting what God's given us. Why? Because we're choosing the things of the world. But friend, God doesn't want you to choose the world. He wants you to repent and come to Him. We find that that young man, he wasted his life upon the things of riotous living. When he wasted it, we also find that he gets to the place, he tried to fix his situation. When he spent everything up, he thought, I'll fix my situation. I'll find myself a friend. I'll hook up with that person. And me and them will try to feed off one another. We'll help each other through the hard times. But friend, can I say this? I remember as a kid growing up, we used to say it was a dog-eat-dog world. And friend, I'm telling you, they take care of number one. They don't take care of number two. And friend, when you try to join up with the world, the first thing that'll happen is you'll be the last one in line. Some folks will preach, that's kind of rough. You can't say that, friend. I'm telling you, it may not be now, but it will be in the future. I remember, I don't care what anybody says. He goes, when you join up with people of the world and join up with sin, I'm telling you, as I've said it before, I'll say it again. Sin will take you farther than you're willing to go. Sin will keep you longer than you're willing to stay. And sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay. I've seen people say, preacher, not me, not me, not me. I've seen them go out and say they'll do things on their own. But they've always wound themselves up broken. Brother Paul, on the side of the road, wasted everything, and they've got nothing. They've hit bottom. You can have the best house, you can have the best car, but if you ain't got Jesus in your life, friends, you're broke and busted. I find in that scripture that he tried to join up himself and fix his situation after he wasted everything that he's got. He's like, well, I'll hang with my buddies, I'll hang with my friends. And I used to think the same thing, and I never forget. I thought, well, I've got me a wife, and I've got me some kids, and I've got me a house, I've got me a decent paying job. I mean, what else can a man ask for? But I find myself broken and busted, Brother Dual Lester, on the inside because I had not Christ in me. I find myself in wanting. I find myself in need. But the Bible says, as this man was, the Bible says that he come to himself. If you'll have it, he came to himself. He had a moment of clarity. And I want to say this, and I hope everybody's listening to me. I hope and pray you realize this. I believe God's going to come to you. God's going to come to our people. God's going to come to the ones that we're praying for. I believe God's so gracious and loving. Some folks think it's not real. But I believe 100%, Don McCurry, that God's going to come to everybody. I believe God's so big and God's so great, He can deal with people's hearts at the same time. He can deal with 100 here and 100 there, and He can deal with their hearts and manifest Himself. And this man is in a place, and Paul, he gets a moment of clarity. He's sitting there by himself, ain't got no place to go, he ain't got no way to get there, and Jeff, he's all by himself. And can I say, I've looked at across this congregation Sunday after Sunday, both services on Sunday and some services on Wednesday, and some of you can paint up the picture, some of you can make yourself look like everything's going fine, but friend, the Spirit can change the countenance of your look. The Spirit can change the way that you talk and the way you walk, and friends, you ain't happy. Friends, you've wasted a lot of things, and friends, you're in wanting, and you're trying to hook up with certain this and certain that, thinking that it will relieve your situation, when friend, the one thing you need to hook up with is drop the things of the world and turn and come to God. I've watched church people. It says, well, preachers, as long as I ain't doing nothing bad, as long as I ain't drinking, as long as I ain't gambling, as long as I ain't cheating, as long as I ain't doing nothing, everything's all right. Friend, ain't that right? Well, friend, let me ask you this. When them disciples went by and they was fishing and Jesus said, follow me, and what'd they do? They dropped their nets. They gave up the things of the world. I've seen people try to mingle with them both, Noah. They say, well, I can do church and I can do world. Well, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You'll serve one and hate the other. You'll love one and despise the other. And when that man got a moment of clarity, you know what he thought of himself? And some folks may think this is crazy, but I think God cleared his mind just for a split second. And what did he think? He said, my Father's house, the servants live better than this. He said, my Father's house, they got bread to eat. He said, at my Father's house, it's a whole lot better life. In that moment of clarity, I think that young feller saw himself through the eyes of God. I want to ask this to you. What is your life? How's it going for you? In today's day and time, here's the measurement of a godly life. God keeps blessing me because I got this, I get this, and I get this, and get this. Sister Eddie, it's not the carnal things that God allows us to have. It's the blessing. How many of you here can say, preacher, I'm living as close as I can live. There ain't no place for me to move up. There's been people come to this church. I've heard them say this is the best church they've ever been in, the best preaching they've ever heard, best worship they ever had. And I've seen them take their stuff and run and leave. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't standing with the church for everybody. You've heard me preach this, and I'll say it again. If you're not getting fed by the Lord, there's either one or two people it's wrong. Either it's me or it's you. But it ain't God's fault. God will always supply the need. But this young man got a moment of clarity, and he didn't sit there and go, well, it's my dad's fault. It's my father's fault. No, it's his fault. And what does he say? He said, I'll go back to my father's house. And this is what I'll say. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven. And I'm no longer worthy to be your son. But would you please make me a hired servant? Would you just let me be a hired servant? And they probably believe when that young fella, as he's coming back, I believe he probably rehearsed those lines. And I believe that the farther he got away from the world, I believe the more clear his mind got. And I believe the more clear his mind got, Sally, the more scared he got. I believe his heart started pounding. I wonder what Dad's going to say when I show up. I wonder what the Father's going to say to me. I done took everything he's given me and I've wasted it. I done took everything that he's offered me and I've pushed it away. The Bible says when he got in sight, there was Dad standing there waiting on him. Can I say this? God's not angry at you and he's going to kill you because you wasted everything. Vicki, he's standing on the front porch looking out down the road. And Larry, I believe 100% he's looking for us to come walking back towards him. Yes, bro. Yes, remorseful. But we're on our way back. And I believe, I believe this in my heart. I believe that young fella had a tear in his eye. And I believe his heart was going on the inside. Because all he seen was Dad. Didn't know how he was going to act. The Bible says he didn't stand there and wait on him, Levi. The Bible says he ran to him and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And that boy began to say, I've sinned against you, Dad. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. And what's the father do? Cuts him right off. You know where he cut him off at, Paul? He cut him off at the part where he says, can I just be a servant? I never saw that before. He cuts him off and says, No, you ain't going no farther. In his heart, he just wanted to be a server. And Dad said, No. This is my son who was once dead and is now alive. He says, give him a robe and put it on him. Hey, them servants knew where the robe was. His robe wasn't thrown away. He says, get a ring and put it on his hand. He didn't throw his ring away. He says, bring him some shoes and put it on his feet. Why? Because my son who was dead is now alive. He's come back home. Get the fatted calf and kill it. Let's make merry and celebrate. Why? Because his son repented. Can I say God's not looking for our excuses? God's not looking for all the things that we're humble and sorry for. God's just wanting us to come back home, Brother Kenny. He's wanting us to come to him and realize it's without him we're nothing. Hey, we've wasted it. We've wasted our time. We've wasted our talents. We've wasted the other things that God's given us to do. We spent things out in the world. I'm not preaching to lost people yet. I'm still preaching to the church. We get more things in common with the world than things with the church. We choose things of the world, not things of the church. And friend, God's not pleased with it. But friend, God's not selling the church. He didn't throw your robe away. He didn't get your shoes and throw them in the trash. He didn't hawk your ring. Friend, he's waiting on you to come back to him. And can I say, they made themselves a time. He was dead, but now he's alive. I thought about this. All he wanted was to be a servant. I'm not worthy to be a son no more. And can I say this, Sister Rita, when I was lost and I was broke and I was coming to God, I was repenting. Didn't shed not one tear out my cheek. I was raised, men didn't cry, boys didn't cry. We shook hands, we kept a stiff upper lip. One of the most dearest grandmothers ever had, when she passed away, I kept my eyes focused on my daddy, and I wanted to show my daddy I would not cry. I kept that stiff upper lip, wouldn't cry. But when I came to God, And after I got saved, and the first time I said it, Sister Vicki, tears began to roll down my face. I didn't have to prove myself to be a big man to God because I already knew I wasn't a big man to God. I was a needy son, needing to be wrapped up, needing to be loved, needing to be hugged. But I couldn't do it out in that world. I had to come back to His house. Can I say something, lost friend? You've tried everything there is out there to satisfy your longing and desire on the inside of your heart. You've tried everything you can. You've done this, you've done that. You might be young, you might be middle-aged, you might be old. I don't know who you are, but friend, I do know this. I'm not ignorant. People can come to the house of God and say they're saved and not be saved. There's people come to the house of God and say, I'm right, and you're not right. But friend, can I say this? There is one way you can get right. That's repent towards God. Come to Him. Turn your back on the world. Turn your back on sin. Get your mind changed and attitude changed and put your faith in Christ. Can I say in the church world? Get a giddy up, boogie woogie, dance a little bit on the hips on a Sunday morning about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, go out and live your life any old way and come back on Sunday. Friend, we make fun of the Catholics for doing that, but more and more Baptists do it than anybody else. Can I say, godly life, my life and walk with Christ is not based upon my wife, nor based upon my kids, nor is it based upon you, but it's based upon my relationship with the Father. And can I say this? My daddy knew things. I was like, man, how does my dad know? How does my dad know? How does my dad know? I've even had my kids and have Tammy tell me, how'd you know? How'd you know? I can't remember. A lot of times somebody spilled the beans before they got home, and I just used it as a tool against them. Somebody say, amen, we're guilty of it. But can I say this as a Heavenly Father? He knows exactly what you're doing, knows exactly where you've been, knows exactly how dirty you are. But can I say this? He's not selling the farm. He's waiting on you to come down the road and say, I quit this life. I'm going to come back home. I'll never forget this. I moved out when I was 17 years old, 18 years old. I thought I had everything. I knew everything. I thought I knew everything there was to know. Throughout my adult life, every time I come against my dad, and my dad was a hard man, but every time I come to him, Sister Vicki, he would not... He would say it in a way, in a fashion, I knew my dad loved me. My dad only told me he loved me one time, and that's all I needed. That's all I needed. But my dad would always let me come to him. Can I say that God is better than my dad? And God's better than your dad. And what God wants is for you to come to Him. Why would you not repent? Why would you not repent? Can I say something to you that is saved? I'm watching the game that you're playing. I'm watching all your all's game. It ain't going to end good for you. You're going to lose the game. You'll find yourself broken and busted on the side of the road. Oh, you're saved, but you cannot enjoy the joys of salvation. You're weak in the Lord. And what you are is a testimony and a trophy waiting to be put into Satan's trophy case. That's absolutely right. I've watched them. I've seen the trophy case. And there's been times, Brian, my testimony, I almost got put in there too. But I'm glad an old mean preacher would stand there and preach the truth. Didn't care if he hurt people's feelings, but he cared about following the Lord. And can I say this? You can pick and choose the things of the world. It's your life. You can live it. But friend, you belong to somebody if you're saved. And you belong to God. Lost person, if you knew the love in this building that people have for you to get saved, if you only knew an ounce of the love that our Heavenly Father has for you to get saved, but you've got to make that conscious choice. Is God dealing with your heart? Is God drawing you and wooing you, saying, why don't you come to me? Grace, I stepped out. That's all I knew to do. Didn't have a prayer. Nobody got down with the Bible with me, and I'm not knocking if people would have. Nobody got next to me and said, pray this prayer. Nobody did, and I'm not knocking people who have. But Melissa, I just stepped out. I had to get relief. I was broke. I was busted. Oh, Jason, I had money in my billfold. Had my pretty wife to the right of me. Bugged me every single church service. At every single invitation. You're going to go. You're going to go. You're going to go. Oh, I wanted to drill her. But that day she didn't ask. That day God was asking me. But I had to get out of that pew and come to Him. child of God, you're going to have to make up your mind. Either it's him or it's the world. And I'm already telling you, you already know what the end is if you choose the world. Lost friend, you ain't living the life that no other sinner's never lived. Everyone's ever been born again and saved. People don't want to brag about things that ain't nothing to brag about. Friend, can I say this? There's no life like a life of Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's nothing like it. Roger said a couple weeks ago, I don't know what to do, but Roger keeps telling everybody his story, it's going to have an impact. And I believe he's going to. Why can't we just tell people our story of how we repented and come to God? I love fishing. I love deer hunting. I love four-wheel driving and bonfires. I love banjos and mandolins and singing. Love all that good stuff. But nothing can compare to having a life with Christ Jesus. Nothing can compare. Ain't that right, Brandon? Ain't it sweet knowing we're not going to hell now? Amen. I once was, well, either you're going to hell or you're going to heaven. There ain't no other way around it. Either you're going north or you're going south. And can I say this? You really don't need me to point it out to you. You already know in your heart where you're going. Child of God, you may think and you may know in your heart that you're going to heaven, but you know right now you ain't living where you're supposed to be. You're living way below the poverty line on God's plan. People say things to you. People make comments to you and you take them as insults. You get all mad and get all stoved up and curl up your nose and get all hot and steamy and walk out and don't have no fellowship, nobody. You know who you're hurting? You're hurting yourself. And you're hurting the people that love you. But if repenting it needs to be preached, it does. And if repenting needs to be done, and it does, it needs to start right here and right now. And it starts with you and me. April, would you come? Just you alone, April? Sister April would come. All I want her to do is to play on the piano. It's just something real soft. Something real soft. Give you a space and time if you need to do some business with the Lord. You know in your heart, and I hope I'm not flying in the face of people's beliefs, but there's a lot of things that man has put in place, and they make it a part of religion, and we think people's got to do this. But can I say repentance is biblical? Repentance is old Bible, new Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, it's Hebrew, it's Greek, it's English, it's Latin. Repentance is something that always needs to be done. How many of you here that's saved and born again? I want you to think back. Are you just as fire on fire for God as you have been? Are you standing for truth as you used to? Are you choosing the ways of God like you used to? Because if not, repentance is not just acknowledging that maybe you're not right, but repentance is saying, you know what, I'm coming to you, God. I'm coming to you. And you that's here, it's lost. What will you do when your life is over? I've heard people say, when the Lord comes back, I'll ask God to forgive me. I've heard people say, when I'm on my deathbed, God will forgive me. Can I say this? There is no guarantee that God will show up at your deathbed. And I know that when the Lord comes back, there is no salvation. The Bible says, when he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What that's saying is, he's coming back to gather up them that's repented and put their faith in Christ. So when he comes back, you won't have time. You won't be able to bend the knee. You won't be able to say, Lord, you're gone. The righteous go to everlasting bliss and blessings. And those that are lost go to eternal damnation and torment. All because they chose to stick with things of the world. I'm a firm believer that God's manifesting himself in your life. You know enough right now. And if I was here and I was saved and I was not living for God, and I wasn't doing right by God, I wouldn't wait around for the preacher to say, come on, come on. You know you need to come. And you need to make a conscious choice, a decision to say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I put in that thing, Charles Spurgeon made that quote. I thought it was kind of funny. I thought Charles Spurgeon stole it from me, but he was before me. Satan says, you're no saint. Well, if I'm not, I am a sinner. And Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sink or swim, I go to Him. Other hope have I none.